Welcome to Tim Friedman's 70s Rock Conversations. I'm your host, Tim Friedman. Happy New Year coming up, Frankie.
Yeah, isn't that neat? We just passed Christmas and on to New Year's.
Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you get that rare Air Supply edition, the 40th anniversary album that I
ordered
for you?
The box set, yeah. And also the Bette Midler one, too.
Of course, yeah. I thought you'd like that, and the Cow Sills, too. So.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the mint condition Afternoon Delight Starland Vocal Band single that you got for me. I'll be sure and put that on my turntable as soon as I can.
Definitely.
Now, Happy New Year thoughts are coming up. Any plans for New Year's Eve?
We're going to do what we do every year, and that's usually just hang around the house, you know, watch some TV, and about 11 o'clock, turn it over and watch the ball drop, you know.
Yeah, and then if you can stay awake that long.
Exactly. And, you know, most of the people that they have on there anymore, I don't know who they are. So,
I don't either. Yeah. Yeah, let's just get to midnight and be done with it.
Exactly.
Hopefully 2022 will be a mite better than 21, which was better than 20.
Exactly.
All right, so our two should get in category. We still have a few to hit. I'm sure that'll run out pretty soon. But nevertheless, you got a good one for us this week, don't you?
Yeah, it's getting a little harder, but I've managed to come up with a good name, one that I've liked for a long time. A man by the name of Robert Palmer.
Yeah, cool singer.
You got it. Along with him being my download discovery this week, I think it's also time for Robert to be part of the Hall of Fame. He's known for his powerful, distinctive, gritty, soulful voice, and for combining soul, jazz, rock, pop, reggae, and the blues. His first album came all the way back in 1974, with his first hit being 1979's Doctor Doctor. He then made a one-off record, singing lead for Power Station, which spawned two more top 10 singles. This was all set up his next two albums, Riptide and Heavy Nova, which broke his career wide open. Videos like the number one record, Addicted to Love, and the number two, Simply Irresistible, and his classy wardrobe made him the darling of MTV in the late 80s. And he wrote both of those songs, his biggest hits ever. He ended up with four top 20 albums and nine top 20 singles, and was still making music when we lost him to a sudden heart attack at the age of 54, far too soon.
You know, he's got a couple of really good cover tunes that you probably have heard. I know played them on the radio station at Q104.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy, Mercy Me.
Oh, beautiful.
Awesome song.
Beautiful.
And also, Can We Still Be Friends, which we didn't play, but you hear it on Yacht Rock Radio all the time.
Yeah,
summertime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Todd Rundgren's hit.
I really like It Didn't Mean to Turn You On. That's,
another
to me, Robert Palmer
one.
Right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, another great one, yeah.
But then he's got some versatility, too. Every Kind of People, for instance,
exactly.
Was Robert Palmer. And a cool song to wake up to in the, I don't know, early fall morning or something, wasn't it?
Definitely. And, of course, I've got a download discovery that'll bring back some memories, too.
You know what was fun last week's download discoveries? Our Christmas one. I chose Tom Scott, and yours was really good, too.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Mine is Dionne Warwick. I had to do a double check, a double take. I thought she was already in.
I thought so, too.
And her cousin.
When I saw the name, I had to check it.
Yeah, like Mariah Carey, too, for me. Her cousin, Whitney Houston's in. You know, she was our very first inductee that we mentioned at our very first show. You know, our inductees from 2020.
That's right.
And you had some kind words about Whitney.
Well, she's always been one of my favorites.
Of course. Now, Dionne Warwick, I mean, her work with Burt Bacharach and Hal David, legendary. Alfie, Do You Know the Way to San Jose, Valley of the Dolls, I Say a Little Prayer. Then she worked with Barry Manilow. You
That's
know,
right.
He's the producer
yeah.
for songs like Deja Vu and I'll Never Love This Way Again, which was written by Richard Kerr and Will Jennings and produced by Manilow and Ron Dante, who produced a lot of the Manilow early stuff and sang backup, and he was also the lead singer for Sugar Sugar.
That's
the
right, yeah.
Deja Vu, written by your favorite, Isaac Hayes.
Mm.
And again, produced by Manilow. Then she started working with Barry Gibb because he stepped away from the Bee Gees because of the stigma of disco.
Okay.
And started working with the top artists of that time, like Dionne Warwick and Barbara Streisand, and the song Heartbreaker. Then later on, another number one, That's What Friends Are For, with Gladys Knight, Elton John, Stevie Wonder.
Yep, that was
Could
a fun
not get
record.
Away from that song for a while. 10 top 10 hits, dozens of singles, two number ones. She ranks as one of the 40 biggest hit makers between 1955 and 1999.
I didn't realize that.
She belongs in there just like any other hit makers from that era.
Definitely.
I would say Dionne Warwick would be at least deserving of consideration for a nomination for the Rock Hall.
Sure.
We'll see if we can come up with two more next week.
Sounds good.
Today in rock history, December 27th, 1932, Radio City Music Hall opened its doors. You know, the home to the Rockettes.
Yeah.
Ever see a show there?
I have never seen a show. Not only have I not seen a show there, I've never been to New York City.
Really?
No.
Still on your bucket list?
It still is, and I really would like to go sometime.
1957, even though 2 days after Christmas, fans began lining up at 5:30 a.m. for 9 o'clock a.m. show for Alan Freed's Christmas show at the Paramount Theater in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Ticket price, $1.85.
Oh, wow. Incredible.
In 1963, December 27th, the Animals performed their first radio broadcast on the BBC show The Saturday Club. The Supremes perform on Ed Sullivan, 1964.
There you go.
And in 1969, 5 years later, they would release their final single with Diana Ross out in front. Someday We'll Be Together. It hit number one early in 1970.
That's right.
Co-written by Johnny Bristol, who would go on to have that big hit, Hangin' In There, Baby, which was number eight in 1974. Sonny and Cher debuted their show on CBS TV. Then Sonny and Cher had a little trouble, so Sonny stepped away. Cher continued on for a few more years. That's a show I did see, and not a lot of variety shows like that, Carpenters and Johnny Cash.
I remember Glenn Campbell, definitely.
And I do remember seeing Sonny and Cher. I think it was on Thursday night or Wednesday night or some kind of fun night show. I don't know when it was. So it began a trial run in the summer replacement series. You know, that's when
sure.
a lot of those would be on.
Exactly.
Wound up staying on the air for 4.5 years. David Clayton Thomas made his final appearance with Blood, Sweat, and Tears in 1971.
Wow, 1971, geez. I didn't realize he was gone that early.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Birthdays. Marlene Dietrich, the actress and singer, born in 1901. Moody Blues keyboardist Mike Pinder, 1941.
Okay.
Mick Jones, a Foreigner, 74 years old today. And David Knopfler, Dire Straits founding member. Worked on the first two albums with his brother Mark. I don't think they got along very well, though, in the end.
The brothers tend not to.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
That's well documented on this show, that's for sure. 1952, those are birthdays from today, December the 27th. So we mentioned it last week, Frankie. The numbers are in, and the highest grossing tour came from the Rolling Stones in just 12 dates, 11 cities. $115 million, the power of the Stones. In fact, three out of the top five grossing concerts were classic guys, classic rockers like the Eagles and Dead & Company at number five. Frankie, it's time for Download Discoveries. I'll go first. We each have one, and they're good ones as we close out the year. Mine is really short. It's only a minute and 51 seconds long, but you'll find it on the A-ha album. You know, the group from Oslo, Norway.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Haunting High and Low, the name of the album. On side two, if you have the album, which I think everybody does,
okay.
And certainly everybody's seen the video to Take On Me.
Yes.
But in 1986, right in the beginning of the year, The Sun Always Shines on TV would have been their second release after Take On Me. And on the second cut of side two is a little number called And You Tell Me, which is a really cool song. Normally, I like upbeat stuff for Download Discoveries, but
right.
this time I choose that song. It's a beautiful little thing. It helped him win Best New Artist Grammy. It's less than 2 minutes long. I think you really like it. The Sun Always Shines on TV was actually the third single from the album. This song, And You Tell Me, was not released, but I think it's a nice little cut. It's not even that deep a cut. It's only
right.
cut two sides.
Yeah.
It's produced by Tony Mansfield, who we talked about, once in the group New Music, who will be a Download Discovery of mine before too long. And they also had a previous one-hit wonder of theirs called Back to Room One. That was New Music. And also Alan Tarney, who we've talked about before with the Tarney Spencer Band. And
okay.
So those two guys produced the album. And then we've already talked about groups hailing from Oslo, Norway.
Yes.
Not a lot of them.
Not a lot.
Backstreet Girls are one of them. And A-ha. So that's this week's Download Discovery from me. I think you'll like
nice.
It. It's A-ha and and you tell me.
Yeah, and you'd say it's you know, just a couple minutes long, and there's nothing better than a nice short cut.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Beatles spent most of their career doing that.
Sure. What you got for me?
I'm going with Robert Palmer, and it's from his very first album. It's a little medley called Sailing Shoes, Hey Julia, and then Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley. In September of 1974, Robert Palmer released his debut album, and the very first three songs make up this wonderful trilogy. Even though they were written by three different people, Lil George wrote Sailin' Shoes, yep. Palmer wrote Hey Julia, and Alan Toussaint wrote Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley, the three songs fit into an incredible groove like they were meant to be together. Sneakin' was first released as a single and quickly died on the charts, but then some kind of wise FM DJs realized that what a gold mine they had here and started playing the three songs together.
Yeah.
The rhythm feels like a cross between funk and reggae and never lets up. I saw a post somewhere online where they called this the funkiest 10 minutes ever recorded by a white artist. And I completely agree with that.
You know, Steve Winwood also plays on this album. You mentioned Lowell George, Rhett
sure.
Davies. That's no relation to Ray, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He engineered this album. Rhett also worked with Dire Straits on their debut album, you know, Sultans of Swing, whatnot, and co-produced the Till Tuesday album.
Oh, good.
The album called Welcome Home from 1986. That was What About Love and Coming Up Close. So he was in good company, but 12 years earlier, Robert Palmer, I did not know he was around that long.
I didn't realize it either, but and I'd heard this medley, but I didn't realize it came from 74. I was still in high school when they created this thing.
Now, you mentioned a medley to begin the album. Usually it ends the album.
Exactly.
Like the Cars or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these just for whatever reason, these three songs just kind of run together, and it really makes for kind of a neat, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
So the medley is Sailin' Shoes, Hey Julia, Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley from the 1974 debut. And I've got the one from 1985, Aha, and You Tell Me, from Hunting High and Low. Okay, Frank, you got a couple of great one-hit wonders. Bobby Caldwell's first from 1979. Early in the year, it hit number 9, called What You Won't Do for Love.
Yeah, that was a good one, yeah.
Follow-up song, Coming Down from Love, just missed the top 40, peaking at 42 that spring. It was covered by the group Go West, What You Won't Do for Love, in the late 80s. We again played that on Q104. It's a good tune, a little upbeat number, because Bobby is such a great soulful jazz type singer.
Yeah, I saw him once with the Dave Cause crew.
Oh, so, that must
yeah,
have been good.
And of course he did that song.
Dave Cause was just in town earlier this month.
Exactly.
Great show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Go West had a top 10 hit in 1990 with King of Wishful Thinking. Remember the Pretty Woman soundtrack?
Oh, yeah, I do.
That was pretty much it for them. But the New York singer, Bobby Caldwell, also co-wrote the hit song that Peter Cetera had with Amy Grant, her breakout song, The Next Time I Fall.
Okay.
Did not know he wrote that. The song is produced by Michael Omardian, who we've mentioned time and again.
Oh, of
talked
course.
About before his work with Christopher Cross and others
mm-hmm.
as a backup musician and also a producer. Next up, Roy Clark, who's a legendary country music singer, but only hit the charts once, the Hot Billboard Hot 100, Yesterday When I Was Young.
Oh,
remember that
Roy
one?
Clark, yeah, I do remember that.
He was number 19 in the summer of 69. I don't think he was at Woodstock, but...
No, I'm sure he wasn't. I think he was doing Hee-Haw
He was probably
time.
Getting
yeah.
ready for Hee-Haw, which
Absolutely.
Was kind of like the answer to Laugh-In, you know, skit comedy and some,
exactly.
some songs and stuff. Great country artist. Buck Owens, of course, hosted that show with him on CBS for only like 2 or 3 years. Then they went into syndication for
That's right.
two and, decades.
And little known fact, I used to watch that show. I used to like it.
I did too.
So
it was kind of like a guilty
odd.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it was. Exactly. Like a guilty pleasure.
Kind of like Lawrence Welk is right now.
Exactly.
For me on a Saturday night, I'll tune it in. Back then, you were kind of forced to watch it.
Exactly.
Because there was nothing else on. I kind of wish I was a kid nowadays because you have so much to watch and you can tune it out and do video games.
Right. They don't even watch TV for the most part.
No. But there are games on wall-to-wall right now, and I would have died for that back then. Because
sure.
once the 4 o'clock game ended, you were watching Hee Haw.
You were done, yes.
Or Lawrence Welk until Newhart came on, or Mannix, or whatever, All in the Family.
That's right. Yeah, Mannix.
Two-hit wonder time, American Breed. Remember Bend Me, Shape Me, Any Way You Want Me?
Great tune.
The other one, Step Out of Your Mind.
Okay, that one I'm not too familiar with that one.
From Cicero, Illinois, the American Breed had a number five hit in late 67, early 68 with Bend Me, Shape Me. But before that was Step Out of Your Mind, which hit number 24.
Okay.
And for our purposes, if it's 25 or better, it counts, right?
That's right, yeah.
And that was just before that in the fall of 67. So the American Breed, two songs, Step Out of Your Mind and Bend Me, Shape Me.
Nice.
Top five singles for the week. 1974, we saw Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, which I at the same time love and hate. they play too much. It makes me sad, but I shouldn't be sad because I did spend time with my son as he grew up. It's just a tear-jerking song, though, for me.
It makes me sad because, again, we lost Harry far too young. He's one of the real disappointments in my concert career is that I never got to see him live. And, boy, I think his shows were terrific.
Yeah, he died in 1981, had a heart attack on his way to yet another charity event.
Exactly.
Outside of New York. I was just about ready to, you know, get into seeing him if he had come around. I'm sure he put on a great show. I've seen his work on YouTube.
Absolutely.
And got the live album subsequently. Here's a song that you love. Carl Douglas, Kung Fu Fighting, was number four.
One of my favorites.
You're the First, the Last, Everything, Barry White, number three.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, Elton John's remake. You know, he had that along with Philadelphia Freedom. I know they were on the Greatest Hits Volume 2 package, but these were released as standalone singles, weren't they?
Yeah, and he was just literally, if it wasn't an album, it was a standalone single. He was working on somebody else's record. It was constant.
At that point, with John Lennon and probably Bowie. He's just everywhere. But I wasn't getting tired of him yet because his music to me was still fresh.
Yeah.
You know, he was still putting out stuff that I really wanted to listen
exactly,
to.
Exactly, yeah.
And the number one song, NG Baby, by Helen Reddy. Kind of a spooky song, wasn't it? Someone going crazy. Written by Alan O'Day, who a couple of years later would go on to that big hit, Undercover Angel.
That's right, yes.
And the number one album was Elton John's Greatest Hits. It was in the middle of its 10-week run. It sold over 24 million copies, the best-selling album of 1975.
Yep.
Yet, it spent a lot of time at the top of the charts in 1974 at the end.
Mm-hmm, that's right. That's one of those greatest hits packages. It's just perfect. Everything fits and everything is a hit.
Yeah. And, you know, like you say from time to time, no filler in there. Even the Border song, which I wasn't familiar with because that's early Elton John.
Right.
I love that song,
but
I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And know some artists like Cat Stevens, who came out with his greatest hits package, I think in 75 or 6. Two Fine People was on there, and that hadn't been released yet. So he probably figured it would be a greatest hits, but some artists do that, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, later on in the 70s and 80s, that became a standard thing to kind of put on a two-sided single on there, something like that, yeah.
That got knocked out of the top of the charts, Elton John's Greatest Hits did, by the Ohio Players and Fire, which lasted only 1 week at the charts in February of 75.
Wow.
Now, it was before One of These Nights and before Venus and Mars, so
okay.
We're kind of in a lull there. We're waiting for John Denver to do something, and we were going to have Freddie Fender and be graced with B.J. Thomas, you know, Hey, Won't You Play?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So it was heading into that kind of a spring of 75, which wasn't the best spring, but as you said, everybody came out in 1975.
75 turned out to be a wonderful year for albums. Just look it up sometime, and I think you'll see what I mean.
When we turn the page to the new calendar year next week, we're going to bring back our spotlight year, and we're going to start with 1975. We won't do them in order, but we'll do 75, and then we'll go up or down, whichever. We're going to bring back the spotlight year segment. I think it'll be fun.
Great.
This week, rock releases, a little late for Christmas, but maybe you have an early birthday or something like that.
Sure.
Do you know anybody, Frankie, who has a birthday, say, right around Christmas or the first part of January? I wonder how they work that. My son was born on January 9th, so it worked out well because whatever gifts don't come in on time, you know, or
exactly.
We want to just hold aside for later. He doesn't mind opening gifts 2 weeks after Christmas.
Sure.
Do you know anybody, though, who might have been born right around Christmas?
Yeah, my wife.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, the 28th.
The lovely Martha.
Yeah, and it it always worked out between Christmas and her birthday. She always said she had the greatest winter wardrobe going, and she had nothing for summer. So, yeah, she's never liked the fact that it's so close to Christmas.
Because you and I and your daughter were born in June,
exactly.
So that's about as far away from December as you can get.
Works out well.
Rock releases from the week of December 27th. Let's see if you have any of these. 1967, John Wesley Harding, Bob Dylan.
Oh.
Do you have that one?
No, I don't.
Grand Funk's Red Album.
Red Album, okay.
George Harrison, The Concert for Bangladesh. I don't have the album, but I've heard about it.
Oh, yes, definitely heard it. In fact, I think I saw the movie.
Here's one I do have, Jim Croce, Photographs and Memories.
Run Go Down.
That's a great, great album, and not just all hits, but there are some really good nuggets on there, too, including that title cut, Photographs and Memories, which you'll like. Pretenders, their debut album, 1979.
Came out. I got that one, and I played it to death.
Me too.
It was a great album, and probably, to this day, probably my favorite woman front person, you know?
You know, I think I like everything the Pretenders did.
Exactly.
And for some reason, they don't seem like Queen, overplayed.
Yeah.
I just love Chrissie Hynde and her voice.
Right, yeah. In fact, you picked the Christmas tune that they did, another beauty.
Utopia, Adventures in Utopia, that came out in 1980. That has some really good nuggets on there, Second Nature, and some other really good ones. That's Todd Rundgren's group. I really like that album. I do have that one, and it's worth listening to if you are in the mood for Utopia. It's not all Hard Charge and Wizard of the True Star stuff. It's early 80s, and I really dig that album. Steve Winwood, another one I have, Ark of a Diver. That really put him back on the charts, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As a solo artist.
I remember at the time it was one of the few rock albums that anybody was playing.
Yeah, that was 1980.
That's right.
The end of the year, on the 31st, as a matter of fact. Then released on December 26, 1982, the day after Christmas, was Bob Seger's The Distance.
Ooh.
Still putting out some good tunes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that album.
Definitely.
So actually, I have most of them. Well, maybe, I don't know how many were there. Eight? I think I have four of them.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty darn good.
Featured artist. This is Southern Rock Part 2. No, we did Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young a while back. Now, the kind of the fathers of country rock, Poco. That's one of my favorite bands. Formed in 1968,
right, exactly.
Following the end of Buffalo Springfield and L.A. We were looking for something like that, weren't we?
Exactly.
You know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young went their own way. And Richie Furre, Jim Messina, who went on to do all that great work with Loggins and Messina.
Yeah.
He left in 69, so early on, replaced by Paul Cotton. Rusty Young, who just passed away. Do you realize he was the only constant member, and he played on every album and in every live performance?
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Randy Meisner, you've heard of him, the bassist.
Sure.
Although he quit the band while they were recording their first album, still got credit for it, and replaced by another future Eagle, Timothy B. Schmidt.
Exactly. In fact, the funny little story there on that is that Randy Meisner was replaced by Timothy B. Schmidt in two different bands.
And they're both good.
Exactly.
Poco and the Eagles. I guess you could call the Eagles a country rock band. They kind of started the whole California sound in the 70s. So they were, second or third featured artist
way back in season one.
Mm-hmm. Three of the members of Poco inducted into the Rock Hall, Meisner and Schmidt with the Eagles, and Furre with Buffalo Springfield. I saw Poco just before COVID hit. It would have been Labor Day weekend 2019 at the Kent Stage, which I said is
okay,
one of my
favorite
venues.
Okay, yeah, that was just before. Sure.
Yeah, they were with Pure Prairie League. Sold out show.
Nice.
642 capacity there. So it was a great night. Poco was on first, I do believe. Rusty Young was there, of course.
Okay.
And they played all the tunes.
Nice.
I got a cute little story about the song Heart of the Night. You know, I told you I was a DJ,
and
Tim Doherty and I spoke about this too, how on our ACRN days, we mentioned we started working at WLHD, and there were three greens at Ohio University, the East, the West, and the South.
Okay.
And I lived on the East, so each green had its own radio station, which went through carrier current. You know how you could pick it up in the dorm, but you could. But it only went to that green. And we broadcast out of Lincoln Hall. One of the RAs, Pat Donadio, was the music director at WLHD. This is before I migrated up the hill to ACRN. So as a little rookie freshman, And you can bring your own tunes in, because the stuff they had, promotional albums and songs, just were terrible.
Okay.
They're worse than worst. They were the dregs. And not the Dixie dregs. They were really bad promotional songs. So Pat comes into the studio and says, here's another promotional copy. You want to put it on the air? And I'm like, oh, God, another one? It turned out to be Heart of the Night by Poco. I might have been one of the first DJs in all the country to play that song.
Great.
So when you get promotional stuff that comes out usually before it hits the airwaves,
sure,
or the charts at least. So I might have been one of the first DJs to ever play that song. So I have a warm spot in my heart for that song. I have no idea where the single is, but I have the album and the CD, and maybe I have the single somewhere, but not the one from WLHD. I would never steal, pilfer anything from
never,
the radio station.
Never, nothing like that.
Besides, Sarah, I had my own stuff, right? So, like, why would I need any of those? So Poco picked up where Buffalo Springfield would leave off, and a nice compliment to the work of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, I thought.
Yeah, exactly.
They released over 20 albums, Frankie.
I didn't realize that
there were that many. A boatload of compilation albums, lots of live albums, almost a dozen live albums, and they are terrific in concert.
As I said,
the show is sold out. It's fantastic, great entertainers. Big hits, Crazy Love, number 17. Heart of the Night, number 20. Midnight Rain, Under the Gun, those songs I played at ACRN, even though I think I snuck those in when I wasn't supposed to. If they're in the studio, you could play them, just not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Call It Love from 1989, that was a nice little country rocker that hit number 18. First album, Picking Up the Pieces, was released in May of 1969, 13-song album. Jim Messina wrote You Better Think Twice, which would become their signature song. Then he'd leave to hang out with Kenny Loggins. So at first, he was there to produce Kenny Loggins, but then they started working together at Kenny's house, and they liked how they sounded and came up with, along with Columbia Records, Clive Davis.
Yeah.
Works like Thinking of You, Angry Eyes, House at Pooh Corner, which my wife loves, and anything about Pooh, I'm all about. I love Pooh.
There you go.
And, of course, Your Mama Don't Dance. They put out 8 albums. Loggins and Messina didn't know they had that much discography there.
I didn't either.
Yeah. They last about 7 years, too. Some of the backup musicians, David Page of Toto, and Michael Omardian, again.
Who,
you know.
Yes, we talked about before.
So what did you think about Poco overall, in general?
I enjoyed the group. I enjoyed, you know, some of their hits. Never saw them in concert or anything like that. But definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, I didn't get with them until about Crazy Love time, 1979, because I listened to Wixie until about 1974, and then I switched over to FM. I was listening to G98 and WLYT. And
exactly.
They just weren't charting, so they weren't playing the songs.
No, absolutely not.
So not a lot of chart success. Most peaked in the 40s or the 50s or lower, but they weren't about that. You know, they were about albums like Head Over Heels and Crazy Eyes, Legend from 1978. Under the Gun, Legacy, those are all good albums, and they kind of sparked these great country rock bands like Marshall Tucker,
sure,
Eagles, Firefall, McGuffey Lane, which is a big favorite of ours down in southern Ohio, Pure Prairie League, Blackfoot even, 38 Special,
that's,
you know,
right, yeah.
And perhaps even Lynyrd Skynyrd, Allman Brothers, when it was okay to be playing country rock music in the early 70s, because you're going to get airplay, and not just on progressive rock stations.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can see where they have a really good influence on other artists who were starting to get things together, including the Eagles.
Sure.
So you would probably think that the Eagles, when they were getting their band together, Randy Meisner's name came up and they said, I wonder who he's worked with. Oh, Poco. You know, a couple of good albums, and I'm sure they knew them from the LA scene.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They probably opened with them or headlined with them or something. That's Poco, this week's featured artist to round out the year 2021. Frank, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, and it's fun talking about Poco.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
We'll see you as we change to 2022, and next week's featured artist is going to be Alan Parsons Project. We're going to talk about him and his work he did with Pink Floyd as producer for Dark Side of the Moon, that classic album. Also worked with the Beatles at the Abbey Road Studios back in the day. And Al Stewart as you move through the 70s. So that's next week as we start 2022. For Frank Ost, I'm Tim Friedman. Thanks for joining us. Happy New Year. This is Tim Friedman's 70s Rock Conversations. We'll see you next time.